Shalom Aleichem. This is a very big schus, a first for me to be speaking at Adaras HaTorah East in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, in a beautiful apartment where all the tzaddikim, the She'eris HaPleita, are here keeping Yerushalayim going, and we're sure that your brothers in Pennsylvania really appreciate it. Adaras HaTorah's real home is in Yerushalayim. We're in a little bit of a gullus now, but we'll come back, and we miss you guys. And I hear that it's going incredible over there, and it's amazing Kiddush Hashem, an amazing hachana for Shavuos, that nothing can stop Torah. No virus can stop Torah, and nothing can stop Rabbi Center, that's for sure. And Baruch Hashem, Torah is the Torah's Chaim. And that's what we're talking about here. We're here at the end, Sfiras HaOmer. We just counted the 49th day of Sfiras HaOmer. I heard a story of Rav Moshe Tversky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha. We know Rav Moshe Tversky, one of the Ga'onei HaAretz. He died al pi Kiddush Hashem in Har Nof. And once on an Erev Shavuos in Shir, he asked the Bachrim a very strange question. He said, "How many of you danced last night?" A lot of blank faces. What is Rebbe talking about? How many of you danced? No one knew something. He goes, did you count the last night of Sfiras HaOmer, the 49th day? How many of you danced? Everyone was embarrassed. Nobody danced. I knew the story. So as we were just counting now, I did a little bit of a dance, a small one. He said, "Don't worry, it's not your fault. It's a problem with the system." Meaning, there's chavivas to mitzvahs. We have to appreciate the mitzvahs. That's part of matan Torah, part of being mekabel the Torah. And this is something we're going to be talking about right now. We're going to be talking about Torah and mitzvahs. Reb Chanani ben Akash Elmer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakas es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Mezachet Klal Yisrael, Mishnah at the end of Makos, Lefikach, Hir Bo Lohem, Torah U Mitzvahs. Hashem gave us Torah and Mitzvahs. Basic question over here. What's Torah and Mitzvahs, right? Mitzvahs are Torah and Torah is Mitzvahs. They're really essentially the same thing. In fact, if you look at the Rambam, the entire Mishnah Torah is Kola Torah Kula. Every part of Mishnah Torah starts with the mitzvahs that he's going to be discussing. That's all the Torah is biurim in the mitzvahs. Even the Vilna Gaon says that Bereishis, all the stories of the Avos are to teach us how to behave. Those are mitzvahs. He says the Torah is filled with even millions of hanhagas and mitzvahs. So what are we talking about over here? What's Torah u mitzvahs? It's mashma that these are two separate things. This is what I want to talk about. Very important. Because it's mashma that there's two things that we have. Torah and mitzvahs. And we just said, we just davened Marav over here. We have a sitter. We just davened Marav over here. And we were davening Birchas Kriya Shema. Right? So what do we say? And I heard this from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. Ava Solem Beis Ram Chavta. Torah u'mitzvahs. Chukam u'mishpatim o'sanu l'adita. Again, Torah and mitzvahs. We were given Torah and mitzvahs. What are Torah and mitzvahs? So actually, let's get a little bit deep over here. Let's get very deep, actually. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Klal Yisrael said, Nase v'nishma, right? The famous lines that the Malachim said is the secret to everything. Who revealed the secret to Klal Yisrael? This was the big secret. They said, Nase v'nishma. What does it mean, Nase v'nishma? What does that mean? What it means is, according to the Zohar, is Nase is we will accept the mitzvahs. Nishma means we will accept the Torah. Interesting Zohar. What exactly is this? We'll accept the mitzvahs, Nase. We'll accept the Torah, Nishma. What's going on over here? What is going on over here? So there's a beautiful Beis Halevi, which Rav David Cohn, who is the Nasi of our yeshiva, always guiding us. His Sfarim are mamish. It's unbelievable that someone in our dar writes these things. He writes this in Mizmor LeDavid. He brings a beautiful Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi asks, he says, I don't understand. If Klal Yisrael says, Nase first, how do you do mitzvos? How do you do mitzvos? You have to learn about mitzvos. So you can't just say, Nase, because Nase means to learn also. You have to read the whole Mishnah Brura, the whole Shulchan Aruch. Nase is learning Torah. There's no two ways about it. So he says, when Klal Yisrael said Nase, they meant they were going to learn Torah. What kind of Torah are they going to learn? Practical Torah. Torah of how to build a sukkah, how to shake a lulav, how to give tzedakah, how to keep a kosher kitchen. All of those halachos were in Nase. And that was the Kabbalah of Torah. So then what's Nishma? He says, Nishma is learning Torah because it's Torah. Not because you want to build a sukkah. I don't care about building a sukkah right now. I want to picture 10,000 possibilities of sukkahs. This one and that one with a mechitza, with the skat, up and down, left and right. That's my Torah. And the Beis Halevi says, that's pshat in the Zohar. Naaseh is we will follow halacha. We'll even learn all of the sugyas to know what to do. But Nishma is we want to learn Torah. L'shem Torah. And he says, this is why Klal Yisrael were praised by saying Naaseh before Nishma. Because if they would have said Nishma first and then Naaseh, then you could just say they only want to learn the Torah of how to be practical. Nishma, we'll read the Mishnah Berurah, v'naaseh, and then we'll do the mitzvahs. But once they said Naaseh v'nishma, they were saying, we're going to learn about how to be practical Yidden, and we're going to fill our lives with Torah. With Torah. You know, for many years, I'd like to say the following thing. It sounds very good and very exciting, and I'm going to throw it out in a second. But I've said it a few times. Someone commented to me they don't like listening to me because a lot of times I disagree with myself. Then they feel like they wasted their time the last time they came to me. Now I'm throwing it out. I'm about to disagree with myself. Years ago, I presented the following thing. That a lot of times we're learning and there are all these cases that will never happen in our lives. And we're learning about them, b'chlal, and it's never going to happen. And why are we wasting our time? And I met somebody who was a lawyer, and he told me that when he was younger, he had a problem with Gemara. All these far-fetched cases, come on, give me a break. What do I have to spend all morning and afternoon and night on all these cases? Let's just go over the things that could really end up happening, right? And he says, then I got to law school, a very good law school, and I was watching how law systems are created, and I noticed the following thing he said. He said, the greater the system of law is the system that covers all the more cases. Meaning if your system of law only covers a certain amount of cases, it's not a very good system. But the more cases it covers, the better of the system, because it means it covers every single possible scenario. And he said, I realize that we have the best law system. They're just trying to copy the Gemara. You know, it's amazing. In vitro fertilization, right? Where are you going to find from a few thousand years ago, direction in a baby that wasn't born from a man, but was basically born in a doctor's office, basically through tubes and all sorts of things? How are you going to figure this out? There's a sugya in Shas that will never happen. A woman went into the mikvah and she was impregnated by zera that was in the water. Come on. You ever hear of something like that? Mizra Bambatya. You know that when Rav Moshe Feinstein had to write his chumas, he had a Gemara right in front of him on in vitro fertilization. That's a perfect system. And that's how I always go and discuss to explain why we're doing this. And now I want to tell you, who cares? Who cares? Who cares about what we're doing practically? We get to learn Torah. It's Gevaldik because it's Torah. It's the Dvar Hashem. I'm going to sit in one sukkah this year. Just one little one. But I want to talk about 5,000 sukkahs. I'm going to use a kosher esrog. But I want to talk about every psul in the book. I remember when I was a kid, it was my favorite masechta. When I was 18, I was learning sukkah over and over. And I walked into sukkahs and I'm like, I'm posseling this sukkah. I looked around, I was looking for trouble. Where's that double halacha lebosha misinai? Where's that? Is that four tzvachim, five tzvachim? Is that? Because it's Torah! Who wants to sit in a sukkah when you can posel a sukkah? It's Gishmak! That was Nasa Venishma, the Beis Halevi said. Klal Yisrael took on mitzvahs, of course, and Torah. And Torah. And it's more than that. It's more than that. Rav Isaac Chaver. Rav Isaac Chaver is made Talmidei Hagra. The Gra had a Talmud named Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov. And Rav Isaac Chaver was his Talmud. And Rav Isaac Chaver writes something beautiful. We got two crowns at Har Sinai. Two beautiful crowns. What were these two crowns for? One for Nasa and one for Nishma. But what were they for? He says one was for mitzvahs and one was for Torah. Why are these two crowns? Because these are two ways of elevating our lives. Says the Goyin in Ha'azinu. The Goyin in Ha'azinu says that Nasa is about mitzvahs, about our bodies. Our bodies should behave. So there's a rule book in the Torah of what to do, how to daven and how to give tzedakah, not to speak lashon hara, right? Keep our minds kaddish. All of the various halachas, give loans, every din and shulchan aruch, brachas, everything, you name it. That the Gaon says is nasa, and that's for the body. That's for the body. Nishma, he writes, is Torah. It's for the neshama. It's for the neshama. We have two ways of elevating ourselves. In our lives, we're makabel the Torah, nasa. We are going to be great. We are going to do the mitzvahs. We are going to do gemilas chasadim. We are going to learn Torah as a mitzvah also. We're going to do all of that. We're going to be great, great people. That's the nasa. But the nishma is we're going to be Torahdik. We are going to learn Torah and fly with our neshamas. And we've talked about in the past that a crown, the whole idea of a crown is it sits above the head. Because it shows that you're above. A king wears a crown because there's more than the king. It's like he has antennas going up. Oh, he's bigger. He's more than meets the eye. And when Klal Yisrael was makabel the Torah, they said, our bodies are going to be big. We're not going to watch things that we shouldn't. We're not going to binge sitcoms. We're not going to sit on WhatsApp for tens of hours at a time. We're going to prove to the world that you can be big with your body. That's what we're going to do. And we got a crown for that. We got a crown because we were above. We're showing the world that we're above. We're showing the world that we're above. And then for Torah, we got a crown for soaring above our practical lives and clearing shailas and chakiras in and out, up and down. To prove that this world is not where it's at. There's so much more. There's a Dvar Hashem. And we got a crown for that also. We got a crown for that also. We're kings of our bodies because we're careful with what we do. And we're kings over our neshamas because we're connecting with our Talmud Torah. And we have to realize there's a lot of challenge in the world. We're all being challenged. I like to say that this is the greatest challenge. I'll tell you why. It used to be that the word home meant safety. You know, like there's something called home base, right? That's baseball, right? They call it home base because when you're home, you're good to go, right? if you're at home, it's home, right? Home is not a safe place anymore. I think the most dangerous place for the world today, especially for young people, is their homes. It's unbelievable. And for some reason, for a long period of time, we were put in our homes. And there was a lot of bullets being shot in all directions. And there were wounds because it's home. And home is dangerous today. Home is everything but home. If you want to go to Las Vegas, you go home. Right? If you want to go to South Beach in Florida, you go home. You go home to be mesofa olamat sofa, to be anywhere but home. Right? Home that's safe is yeshiva. And for some reason, there was such a gzera. But we have to appreciate. We have to learn from all this. We have to roll our sleeves up, get back on our feet, and remember that we are the nation that's better. Better in our bodies. Better in our neshama. We have a crown. We have two of them. Because we're soaring above all of humanity. All of humanity. And all of us are great. But we have to be makabel the Torah. We have to be makabel the Torah. What does it mean to be makabel the Torah? It means we have to regroup. We have to regroup and make a Kabbalah. We have to make Kabbalahs. I know it's not El. It's not El, but I feel I need to make Kabbalahs. I've been home for a long time. It's hard at home. We need to make Kabbalahs. We need to make a small Kabbalah. A Kabbalah to stay away from something, a Kabbalah to do something positive. To be Makabel Matira. We can't just let Shavuos come in without being Makabel. If someone is Makabel something now, something small, something doable, something to stay away from, something to run towards. If someone's Makabel, then they are being Makabel Torah. That's Kabbalah Satira, responsibility. And I'm suggesting that we should make Kabbalahs. And if anybody wants, I will, whoever makes a Kabbalah from the yeshiva, they can email me, Starkstein, Starkstyn, @gmail.com, and I'll be happy to daven for you on Shavuos, that the Kabbalah should go well, and that all the iris of Torah, all the hashpos of the Torah should come as if we were mamish there at Har Sinai, being the Kabbal, all of the 613, the Taryag mitzvahs, just from one Kabbalah, just from a Sur Meira and an Aseh Tov. We have to realize how lucky we are. Ein ben choyren elamisha oisek batayra. No one is free except for somebody who's learning Torah. Really? Really? You're free when you learn Torah? No, you're not. It's a jail. You have to stay there morning, Seder, second Seder, night Seder. Too long, right? And there's so many mitzvahs you have to do. You can't do this. You can't do that. I've had Pizza Hut in Israel. It's true. But I've never had pepperoni pizza. You call me a free man? I've never had pepperoni pizza. It always looks, ooh, it looks good. So how am I a free man? Where's the Ben Chayrin? Zach the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel on Avis in Perek Vav. He says, you know what a Ben Chayrin is? Someone who's free from his body. Someone who can say no to something. Somebody who can be above things. Somebody who could push something away. Someone who could be in front of an unfiltered device and push it aside and say, I'm bigger, I'm higher, I'm better. That's a free man. Everybody who's running around with pepperoni pizza is everything but free. They're just part of a National Geographic special. Look, watch how many people eat pepperoni pizza. Watch how many people eat cheeseburgers. And they just, like little hamsters in a laboratory, you can just study them and they do the same thing all the time, right? They're not free, we're free. But I'll tell you something gorgeous, and this is my beautiful matana for you. I didn't really want this to go to America because it's only for the Yerushalayim Chevra, such a beautiful bar, but you know what? You're Eretz Yisrael, Dick and Neshama, so we'll give this to you also, whoever's watching this in Pennsylvania. Torah is for everyone. Listen to this beautiful, beautiful idea. What does it mean? Where's the drasha? Al tikri charas el cheres. How do we know that Torah makes you a free man? Because it says that the luchos were carved, charas. Don't read it charas. Read it cheres, freedom. Okay, that's a nice play on words. Don't read it engraved, read it free. What does engraved and freedom have to do with each other? We have a Kabbalah that whenever they change the words, there's a deeper meaning from the first word to explain to the second one. What is being engraved in the Luchos? You're right, we have these tablets that are engraved. What does it mean that that has to do with freedom? Listen to this, it's gorgeous. We spoke a few weeks ago about a Sefer Torah, a gorgeous Vilna Gaon in his parish on the Zaire. The Gaon said that a Sefer Torah is made from animal skin, a behema tahira, and it's in theory could have been shayach to the animal kingdom. What do? Says the Gaon, we write Torah all over that animal, and we elevate it. We elevate it. We elevate it. It's different now. When it comes in the room, everyone stands up. What do you mean it used to be a cow? No, it's now a Sefer Torah. The Dvar Hashem went on that behemoth. We spoke about that grah. We spoke about that each one of us has two responsibilities in life. We have to be able to learn Torah, which is writing on ourselves, but we also have to make sure that we're a behemoth Torah that the Torah can come onto. Right? If you have to, when you write on something, it has to be a proper piece of paper. Chazal say that when you write on a nir machuk, on a piece of paper that's all scratched up, it doesn't stick. A Sefer Torah, says the Vilna Gaon, is elevating our behema. But I'm going to tell you a secret. A Sefer Torah is still two things, letters and parchment. And if you want to scratch off the letters, you could do it. You could take a knife. You could scratch them off. And therefore, there's still the animal within. He's still there. But the luchos, when you look at the luchos and you see the carved in letters, there's no two things. There's not parchment and ksav. When you look at something that's carved, it's all one chetza. The parchment and the letters are the same exact thing. It means the ultimate impact on me. I became Torah. I'm not just trying to put Torah on me. I'm actually becoming Torah. I am Torah. That's what it means to have Torah engraved in the Luchos, is that the Torah makes a complete impact. A person who's totally free of his animal side, like the luchos, where the ksav, the dvar Hashem, is there. It affects every fiber. So too the Torah could be nichtav aluach libecha, could be written on us, that we're a shtick of Torah. We're a shtick of Torah. We're a chesed of Torah. Letting Torah make an impression. Letting Torah make an impact. You know, it's very interesting. We remember things that make an impression. What does the word impression mean? When you press in. When you press into something, it makes an impression, an impact. Impact usually means, right? Boom, an impact. You remember those things because they made an impression. They made an impact. They made an imprint. That's why it says that Har Sinai, that when we got the Luchos Rishonos, we didn't forget any of our learning. Do you know why we didn't forget our learning? Not because we had photographic memories, but because just like the Luchos were Torah, we were Torah. You don't forget your name. You don't forget who you are. And Klal Yisrael was Torah. And on Shavuos, we became Torah. we became Torah. And it could be we lost that level. It's true, we did. There was a Cheder Ego, and we moved to the Luch HaShnias, and we're traveling through history. But when we come to Shavuos, we grab back those levels. We grab back the ability for Torah to impact us, for Torah to elevate us, for the crowns of Torah to come back, for the crowns of mitzvahs to come back, to be above, to be better. And all of us have been having difficult times. We have to use Shavuos as making an impact, making an impression for real moves. We can't just continue like this. I'm speaking to myself. I have to make real moves in certain areas. Maybe you do also. But there's the Torah is coming to us from Shemayim on Shavuos to be written upon us, to be carved in us, to make us feel freer than we are. But we have to meet the Torah halfway at least. And we have to try to make ourselves a proper place for that Torah to be chal, for that Torah to be. And I think that really we should. We really should. Each person should sit with himself and think about something that he could be mekabel on himself to move things in a better direction. Everyone in Pennsylvania is doing phenomenal, and there's such simcha over there. And let's capitalize on that simcha. Let's capitalize on it. Let's try to really elevate ourselves. Nothing is stopping us from doing anything wrong. So why don't we do things wrong all day right now? We're not in yeshiva, we can do whatever we want. You know why? Because we're free. That's why. We're really free. So we won't do things that are wrong. We won't do things that are bad because we know how to say no when we need to say no. And we know how to say yes when we need to say yes. And this is what Rav Yosef meant in Psachim Samaches. He said he took out the Iglet Lissa, Egel, right? Mamish, beautiful geschmack, flesh to eat on Shavuos. Why Ilav Hayom de Kargarim? If it wasn't for this day that caused this, Kama Yosef Igam Beshukah, I'd just be another Joe in the shuk. What's this word, Kargarim, that caused? What did the day cause? If it wasn't for the day, this day that caused this, I'd just be another Joe. Rashi writes, B'yom Shalamadati Torah V'nisro Mamti. I learned the Torah and I was elevated. Torah made me bigger than all the Joes in the Shuk. Torah elevated me. This is our greatness. This is our legacy. And this is what we're going to prove to the world. We are going to prove to the world that there is still a nation on planet Earth who is encrowned with real freedom, with real choices, with real self-control, with real aspirations, with a real chibur to the Dvar Hashem Shamayim for their neshama and all the mitzvahs for the guf to be a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. Everyone should have a good yontif and be mekabel the Torah. B'simcha!